for the stubborn. Let's pray together. Father, help us right now. Now, Lord Jesus, this morning, you know our hearts. You know our needs today. You know the needs that are in this building. I pray today, Lord, that there will be a breakthrough of the devilish deception that is going on in the hearts and lives of people in this room this morning. And God, there's people here today that know the truth. They know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible teaches. But yet they're unwilling to do what you have called them to do in their life. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would open their eyes that they could see the need in their life to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes to life on earth. Yes to abundant life. Yes to eternal life. And Lord, today may we lift up Christ as the only one that can meet our needs of our life. And help us now, Jesus, we pray in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You can be seated. Over the last couple weeks, the United States of America and 15 other nations in our world have been very serious about their warnings to Kim Jong-un of North Korea, particularly about their missile testing, and that it goes against the agreement that North Korea has with much of the world. However, President Kim has been stubborn. He's been reluctant to listen to the warnings. He's been reluctant to listen to the other nations. And this week, he threatened the USA. He stated to the United States of America that he was going to send a bomb towards Guam. And now, why is that important? Because Guam is not one of our states, but it's one of the USA territories. And the moment he said that, by the way, I'm glad we're a president with some fight. Amen. Donald Trump said this. President Donald Trump said this. He's been very blunt with North Korea. And this is what he had to say. He said that North Korea would be met with fire and fury. But this week, another individual spoke up in the Bible. I mean, not the Bible, I'm sorry. But people around this individual says when he speaks, he means it. General Mattis came on record in an interview, and he's had this to say about the situation with North Korea. He said North Korea should cease from any consideration of actions that will lead to the end of their regime and the destruction of its own people. Now, what did General Mattis mean? Here's what he said. If you do not listen to the warnings that you've been given, and you do not heed to the warnings from the United States and the other 15 nations, and if you act upon your words and you attack Guam, you need to know that it will be the end of your regime and the destruction of your people as we know the state of North Korea. Now, when you think about this in concept and in common sense, North Korea is a place about as big as the state of Alabama, maybe just a little bit bigger in landmass. And this little nation, just one little nation, is doing this against not only the United States, but China and Japan and many other nations that are against them. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, why in the world would a man like Kim Jong-un, why would he not listen to the warnings that he has been giving? Why would he be so stubborn? And I want to say this morning, for the same reason that people in America, Alabama, you follow, and even in this building today, you know God's truth. You have heard God's truth. You know what the Word of God tells you, that you need to turn your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you know what the truth says, you have been stubborn to listen to what the Bible teaches. And you say, Brother Joey, why in the world would a man like Kim Jong-un, why would he not listen to the warnings? Why do people in this building today, why are you not listening to the warnings of the Word of God about your life and what the truth says? Well, in our text this morning, the Bible tells us very particular, we have a man, this individual, at some point in his life, please stay with me, at some point in this man's life, somebody gave him the truth. Now, we don't know who it is, but from the story, we know that at some point in this rich man's life, he was given the truth and given the need that he should turn from his own way of living to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given that truth, but he refused to listen to it. And the Bible says that this man died, and he lived, and he died, and then he went to hell. And when he gets to hell, he begins to cry out for help and mercy. But then after he realizes that he is not getting out, he said, Father Abraham, send somebody to my house because I got five brothers, and I don't want them to come to hell. Will you send somebody to my house, watch this, and warn them? And Abraham said, No, I will not send someone. Why? And he said, because if I send someone rise from the dead and they go back to your brother's house, they won't listen to them either. His me this morning, what do you say to somebody like that? What do you say? What do you say to someone sitting in this building? They know what the Bible says. They know what the Word of God teaches. The Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart, yet they still won't get right with God. What do you say to them? You say, but God just needs to do a miracle. He needs to bring somebody back from the dead. The Bible says it wouldn't work. And the examples in the Bible, the three examples, it didn't work. So what needs to be said to them individuals this morning? Now, I want to do this morning. Now, I'm not being unkind. If you know me and you leave, you may be a visitor today and say, boy, that preacher was mad at everybody. Please don't think that, but I'll tell you this. About a third of the preaching of the Bible is supposed to be rebuking us. And the Bible's not all negative. Jesus rose from the dead, but he also was murdered. He died for my sin and your sin. And I want to say this morning, you're sitting here, Brother, what do you say to someone who knows what this book teaches, who's been given the Word of God, and they still won't get right with God? What do you say to them? Well, this rich man, he died and went to hell. And there's two scriptural truths. Listen to me. That he ignored in his life. That you're going to get to hear today. And I want you to consider one more time before you say no to Jesus today. I want you to consider one more time what the Bible teaches. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Number one is this. First of all, this morning you need to realize who you are. You need to realize who you are. What do you mean, Brother Joey? This man, this rich man in Luke 16, the Bible shows us that he had a serious identity problem. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. He thought he was somebody he wasn't. He sincerely misunderstood who he was. And when he gets down to hell, boy, it shows it even more. I want you to think about this, teenager. I want you to think this morning. This man, the Bible says, died. He goes to hell, and he wakes up in hell, burning in the flame, suffering in hell so bad that he didn't ask for a cup of water. He didn't ask for a gallon of water. He wanted one drop to stop the burning. He was suffering in hell, separated from God. Now think about this. While he's in hell, the Bible says, he sees Abraham and Lazarus afar off in paradise. And I want you to think. The Bible says he begins to talk to them like they're his servants. He didn't talk to them like, oh, I messed up. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't have been mean to you. Oh, I should have listened to the truth. I want you to look at verse 24. I want you to see what the Bible says. If you're still with me, say amen. Watch this. Look at verse number 24, what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, and he cried. He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and watch this, and send Lazarus. Now, this verb send here, I want you to look at me just a moment. This verb send is in the imperative mood. What does that mean? This means this was a command. This was not a statement. This was not a request. This was a command. So here this individual is. He has died and went to hell. He's looking up into paradise, and he's talking to Father Abraham. He says, hey, send Lazarus down here. Send Lazarus down here to help me. Send Lazarus to my house. And what was he doing? He was not talking to them as individuals. He was not addressing them as people, as someone with spiritual authority, his equal or a friend. But rather, he was speaking to them as a servant. He commanded him, watch this, to do what he wanted. Why? Because this man had a serious identity problem. He thought he was somebody that he was. Listen to me this morning. He thought he was somebody that he wasn't. Can I tell you this morning? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me tell you what that means. That means every man in this building, every woman in this building, every young person on this property today, we're all just sinners. None of us knows what we're doing. None of us has a handle on life. None of us are smarter than God. None of us know what we need. None of us really even know what we want. All we know that as we give a chance, we'll make a mess out of our life. Somebody say, this man right here, he thought he was somebody he wasn't. And I want you to listen to me, sir. You've been hearing the Holy Spirit of God. The truth of God has been blistering you in your soul. And man, you know today, you're not right with God. You're rebelling against God. I want to say to you this morning that you're not smarter than God. You don't know more than God. You don't know more about life than Jesus Christ. You don't know more about life than the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know how to live. You don't know how to think. You don't know how to treat people. You're just a sinner. And that's all we know. You said, but Joy, this morning, but I'm a smart sinner. No, you're not. You're a deceived sinner. But Joy, I know what's best for my life. No, you don't. My friend, we don't know how to do anything but make mess. do in life. You know why? Because we're all just sinners. And I want to say this morning, this man had a problem. He needed to get over himself. And some of you in this morning, you are thumbing your nose at God. God saw you were singing a while ago. Listen to me this morning, sir. He saw you this morning. He saw what you did. And you think God didn't see it. He saw it today. And you're not going to get away with it. God is an almighty God. He knows more than you. And you need to get over yourself.
Right.
And by the way, that's why you won't live for it. Because you think you are smarter than God. But Joe, you ought not say stuff like that. Listen, the Bible teaches that. The Bible says we're all sinners. Every one of us is going out of his own way. And this morning, the reason you won't put Lord Jesus Christ in the front of your life is because you think you know more about what's enjoyable than he is. But can I do a commercial break real quick? You still with me? Say amen. Jesus Christ can do more for us in this life than any drug on the street.
That's right.
Jesus Christ can do more for a young person in this building than any sexual relationship.
Amen.
Jesus Christ can do more for us today than any person on this earth. Not here this morning. I wish it was. Oh, Rachel. You still know how much she means to me. Young man, barely in his 20s. Now, I'm so glad that I had a Bible I could open and I could look at and say, I can promise you this. If she wants you to do what God don't want you to do, then God has something better for you than earth. Church, say amen.
Amen.
It ain't always flowers and roses and waterfalls falling from the rocks. Sometimes we need to hear the truth.
Right.
And I'm telling you this morning, some of you sitting here, you've been smoking stuff all week. And you think nobody saw it. I'm going to tell you, God saw you roll it up. He saw you light it up. He saw it smoke it up. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ can do more for you than anything you can smoke, sniff, shoot, whatever it is in your life, drink. But I promise you this, there's not a sin on this earth that can imagine and even compare to the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a sexual relationship on this planet that can compare to the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. And my friend today, this man went to hell, not because he was rich, because he thought he was smarter than God. He thought he had a handle on life. And today you need to repent and turn to Christ. You need to get over yourself.
Amen.
I know the truth is not always easy. I'm going to tell you, at some point, you need to hear the truth. And the reason you don't like this book right here is because you think you're smarter than me.
Right.
But I want to tell you, this man right here, he had to get over himself. And I think this is amazing. I just want to go on record. By verse 25, he still had to get over himself, though he was in hell. And I'm going to tell you what that means this morning. If you're sitting here right now, and God the Holy Spirit is snuck up by you at your seat, you better listen to me. Because I guarantee you, at some point in this man's life, he thought this: oh, I'll get right with God when I'm ready to. I'll be right when it's time to, my friend. We don't get to call the shots. God calls us. He calls us to repentance. And he calls us to follow him. And if you're here this morning and you're saying no to God, you need to realize you're a sinner. You need to get over yourself. You need to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think about this morning? We're sitting on God's earth, breathing God's air, enjoying the life God has given to us. And all of that can change at the snap of a finger. And anything this morning, listen to me, anything today short of burning in hell is a blessing from God. And we ought to run to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah to God. Number one, you need to realize who you are and get over yourself. Number two, you're still with us. Amen.
Amen.
Glad you came to church today. Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, our air is broke, but I'm glad I'm here. Amen.
Right.
Number two, please stay with me on this. You need to realize that you are going to hell.
Right.
You need to realize, sir, that you are going to die and go to hell. Ma'am, you need to realize you are going to die and go to hell. just like you are. And you're going to go down. I want you to see this in verse 23 with me. The Bible says in verse number 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The startling truth for this man was he died and woke up in hell. He probably thought that this would never happen, but I want to say this morning that it did. And if you continue this morning, sir, ma'am, if you continue to thumb your nose at God and to reject the call of his word on your life, then you need to know that you will go to hell when you die. Understand today, you're not going to go out there and float around in space somewhere. You're not going to go out there and just hang out in the dirt until the maggots eat your body. My friend, listen to me today. If you die without the Lord Christ this morning, young man, you are going to go to hell in your sins. You're going to die without Christ. And man, you die in your rebellion. You think nobody knows about your sin. You listen to me. God knows your sin. He can write it down. And if he wanted to, he could write it on that wall for everybody else to see this morning. He knows where you are in your life. And you need to listen to the Lord Christ. Why? Because if you die in your sin, you are not going to heaven. You are going to hell. And I'm going to tell you, that's a fearful thing. A fearful thing. You said, what's bad about going to hell? Look at verse 25. What's this? The Bible says, but Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. First of all, if you go to hell, it'll be your fault.
That's right.
He said, Father Abraham, get me out of here. He said, you remember that thou in thy lifetime. And I'm going to tell you, you got to go to hell. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be begging for mercy. And I don't know all the people that share the truth with you in your life, but I can promise you this, that he's going to take your mind to 660 Highway 30, August the 13th, 2017, at 11:45, he's going to say, you remember that day? The Holy Spirit came right to you, right at your seat. He put his finger on your sin. He put his finger on your life. The Holy Spirit spoke to you that day, and you said no, and you're in hell now because you chose. Not only will it be your fault, but I want you to listen to me this morning. Because you may not believe what I'm getting ready to preach, but you need to get a hold of this. Not only will you go to hell, it'll be your fault. Number two, you're not getting that. I wish that wasn't true. Verse 26, the Bible says, he started crying and said, Abraham, come help me. He said, I can't. Why? Because there is a great gulf fixed. God put a divide that all those who would reject his son Jesus, they would be separated from ever. And you may see me right now, rich man, but you can't get out because I can't come get you and you can't come. This morning, I want you to think about this. How long, Brother Joey, will I be in hell? Just for a moment, I want you to imagine that a hummingbird flew into Lake Eufaula and grabbed a beak full of water. And then flew over to Mississippi and dropped it on. And then he flew back to Lake Eufaula and grabbed a beak full of water and flew back to Mississippi and dropped it on. And then he did that every day, all day long, until he emptied out all the water in Lake Eufaula. Listen to me. That's only 1 second in eternity. I'm going to tell you this one. You put that sin right in front of your face right now. You put that dirt. You put that sexual relationship. You put it right there right now. And you ask yourself, is that what you've done in your head? I'm telling you something, man.
Come on.
Yeah. It'll be your fault. You're never coming out, but don't miss this. Please, if you're still breathing, say amen. He said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So all of a sudden, before we read verse 28, this man has died, he's went to hell, and now he has realized that it's his fault, he's going to be there forever. And he said, Father, Abraham, I want you to send somebody to my house. I think it's very interesting. All of a sudden, it wasn't until this man got to hell that he was concerned about others coming. And I want to tell you this morning, that's a sad thing in the heart of a Christian. That we're going to heaven and we don't care who else is going with us. But I want you to look what happens in verse 28. He says this, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, this man, he didn't care about the eternal destiny of his family until he got to hell. But listen to me, and then it was too late. Listen to me this morning. Some of you are sitting in this building. You're the only Christian in your family. Young man, your mama is going to die and go to hell. Your brother's going to die without Christ and go to hell. Your cousins are going to die without Jesus. And the only time you can do something about that is now. But listen to me today. Christian, you need to be at it more than ever. But I want to say to those today that are here, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting His truth. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. You're mocking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't say yes to Jesus. Understand, if you die and go to hell, then you will not be able to do anything about keeping others out of hell. And I want to tell you this morning, that will be your number one passion when you get to hell. You don't want anybody else to go. You'll care about it. I'm going to go with the blues. You say, but Joe, what does all this mean? Here's what it means. Number one today, you're sitting in this building. You say, but Joe, I know that I'm not my own. Will you look at me just a second? Just everybody look at me. That one around seems loud. I'm set for you, Sam. I know what it's like for the Holy Spirit to whisper in one ear, oh, get right with Jesus. It'll be the best thing you ever do in your life. But for the devil to whisper in the other ear, it's not going to be fun. Jesus is boring. Jesus won't give you life. He'll take your life away. You enjoy life better when you can do what you want to with your time. I know what that's like. Anybody else in here know what that's like? That battle, that struggle. We need to be praying right now. Because I'm going to tell you this morning. That struggle is real in your life right now, man. Sir, it's real. Young person, this is real in your life. As I'm standing right before you this morning, and I want to say this. Here's what you need to realize. Jesus said this. The devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to steal your life, he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy everything good in your life. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I know what it's like to be so messed up I didn't even know my name. I know what it's like to be so messed up that I thought I was riding down the road in the car and it wasn't even crunk. And I know what it's like to think if I get saved, I can't do that no more. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has been better to me than any Bud Light I ever drank. He's sweeter than any Mad Dog 2020 ever went to my lips. And I want to tell you, He's more fulfilling than any sinful sexual relationship I was ever involved in. And I want to say today that there is nothing in this world, there's no sin that the devil's got in his bag, there's no tricks in his basket today that can mean more in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've got Jesus, baby, you've got all you need in this world. One story, and I'm done. Story of a rich man, and he had a huge estate. He had everything. He had all this stuff. And his son went off to the military and went off to war. Many of you may have heard this. There's different versions of it. But as this man's son was over in the war, he made a close friend with this individual who was over there in the war with him. And one day while they were in battle, that rich man's boy was hit with a bullet. Thank you. His friend went over there, and as he died in his arms, his friend looked at his face, and he watched as his dear friend, that rich man's piece of paper and some pencils, and he began to draw his friend's face as he died in his arms. Not only did he draw his friend's face as he looked at him as he died in his arms, but when he came back to the States, he went to that rich man's house after he attended the funeral of his friend, and he said, "Listen, this is for you." And he said, "What is it?" And he unwound it, and it was a picture of the face of his son as he slipped off into eternity after he died on the battlefield. A couple years went by. The rich man had everything, had all kind of stuff, just millions of dollars net worth, more than just, you couldn't even keep up with. Nobody really knew how much it was worth. He was worth so much. But the rich man died, and as he died, there was an advertisement that came out that everything that he had would be auctioned off at a low, low price. And as they brought all the things that he had and they got ready for the big sale, they brought all his expensive paintings, they brought all his stuff and everything out, and all his money and accounts was there, and everything that they had. And as they got there, hundreds, thousands of people gathered around, rich people that came from all over the world, because there was certain art that this man had that they wanted, and they knew if they could just get a hold of it at a discount price, they could make millions off of this estate sale. They showed up, and as they got ready to begin the sale, before they started, they brought this one picture frame out and set it on an easel right in the middle of the stage. They took the curtain off, and as they took the curtain off the picture and looked at the picture, the crowd was kind of taken back, and they said, "What is that ugly picture? Can't even make out what it was." They stood, the man walked out to the front of the stage, and he said, "Who will give me something for this?" And everybody's like, "Get that junk off the stage. Bring out the real stuff. We're not here for that." And as they begin to fuss and complain, finally the auctioneer noticed that somebody over here said, "Hey, I'll buy it." He said, "What do you give me for it?" And he said, "Something crazy, like $5. I didn't bring much money with me. I'm just here to watch, but I'll give you. And the man from the stage looked down and said, "Sold," to the young man right to my right, for $5. And then he looked at the crowd, thousands of people, and said this: "The sale is over. You can go home." And the crowd began to roar, "What do you mean going home? We came from all over the world to be here for these art and stuff, and we want to see all this stuff." And they said, "You don't understand." They began to yell at him on stage, "You need to bring out this stuff." And he said, "I can't." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you didn't understand that this picture was a picture of his son." And he said, "Whoever takes the son takes it." Ooh. Takes it all. Amen. Amen. Listen to me this point. Everything that God has, right, is in Jesus Christ. And if you take the son,